I wonder tonight.
Turn back to Romans 5. I know this morning I'd asked you to pray and that the Lord help us and direct us. And I've been praying about, you know, the possibility of getting started in 1 Corinthians and had maybe thought about doing that tonight, but just really could not get away from this text and what we'll be preaching tonight. And so, you know, and there's just been things, you know, sometimes the Lord does this. You go through a service, be it a testimony, be it a song, whatever it is, be it a prayer, you know, just whatever it is, the Lord, sometimes He'll just confirm in your heart, you know, you're in the right vein here. You're going the right, you know, you're going the right way. And so some of these testimonies have kind of helped me with that. And so we just want to do the Lord's will, preach what He'd have us to preach. And pray that He'll be glorified in it all. So in Romans chapter 5, let's just begin reading in verse number 1. We're right back where we were this morning, and we're continuing on. But if you look with me in Romans chapter 5, look in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And just in this passage, as we've been looking through here, we've been looking at really the three of the things that God's people are given once you are justified by faith. Of course, we dealt with that whole thing, that positional blessing of having peace with God, being positionally at peace with God. This morning, we looked at that access into grace. And tonight, I want to preach on there in verse number 2, the last part of the verse. He says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So three things he deals with here that you get whenever you are justified by faith. When you put your faith in Christ, you receive peace, you receive access, and we receive hope. We get hope. And so tonight, I want to preach to you for a few minutes on hope. Hope. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight, and I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can look into it, and Lord, that we can receive from heaven, Lord, the message from on high. And Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you would draw us near to thee. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get a hold of these truths, and Lord, that they would be applied to our lives. We'd be better Christians and better servants. Father, I thank you for the peace with God that we have through Christ. I thank you for the access that we have, Lord, into your grace, Lord, your great bounty of grace, that all we have is of grace, where there's sufficient grace. Lord, I just thank you so much for it. And Father, I thank you tonight for hope. And I pray that you would help us to look to your word and to receive from you what you would have us to receive regarding our hope. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray for that one that may be walking afar off tonight. Lord, that one that may be discouraged, I pray that you would encourage that heart, pray that you would edify your saints. Father, I pray for that one among us that might be lost tonight, Lord, that you would show them their lost condition. Lord, you'd speak to their heart. I pray that today would be the day of salvation, Lord, they'd come to the end of themselves and cry out to a Savior, put their faith and trust in Christ and be born again. But Lord, whatever the need of the hour is, or we know that you know it all, there's certainly nothing that I could say or do to meet every need here, but we know that you can. Yes, so Lord, we're here by faith. Lord, we're looking to you, trusting you, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, God, Lord, to do and be what you want us to be. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's interesting how whenever you just go verse by verse, how you preach expository messages, and you know, that's really what verse by verse preaching is. It's what we would consider expository preaching, taking a text, taking the Bible, and just exposing what is there. That is expository preaching. So now, if you ever hear that word, you just know that you learned something new tonight. If you can walk away saying you didn't learn anything, you learned at least that. I mean, expository preaching is just taking a passage and exposing what is there. That is is expository. And then, of course, you got topical preaching where you may just take a topic and just run through the Bible and just preach everywhere that that topic is dealt with. And there's various different kinds. But tonight, it's interesting because we're kind of doing expository preaching, going just through the Bible and just preaching, exposing just what's there, which I believe is the greatest kind of preaching. You can't do any better than just preaching what God says. Amen. And by the way, the power, our power is in the Word of God anyways. It's not in my thoughts or my, anything we could come up with. I mean, you might move and stir somebody emotionally, but as far as anything eternal that's going to be done in anybody's life, it's going to come through the Word of God. Amen. And so you just can't improve on preaching what God said. Amen. But tonight, it's interesting because preaching an expository message, a verse-by-verse message, but at the same time, also preaching a topical message. Amen? And the topic of the hour, the topic of the night is hope. It is hope. And we've actually kind of preached three of those. Preached on peace with God. Preached on access into grace. And tonight, what we find in verse 2 is that one of the main things that a man gets, woman gets, when you get justified by faith is hope of the glory of God. And that really, hope is the theme of the next few verses in this passage. In verse number 2, if you look, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then verse 4, and patience experience, and experience hope. And then in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. And so that really seems to be the theme through here. That word is mentioned many times. The idea of hope is brought up. And so when you think about hope, really, you know, what is hope? What is the Bible talking about whenever he talks about the hope of the glory of God? We've kind of changed the terminology of hope, and it's more of something that we're wishing for. Isn't that right? I mean, I'm really hoping this happens. It's like an intense desire. Like, I really, really hope that things work out. I hope I get this for Christmas. Gideon and Judah hope they get this for their birthday, you know? And so it's kind of become this a desire that we hope something happens. But really, in the Bible, what hope is not desiring for something to happen. Hope here really is a confident expectation that something will happen. It is knowing that something is going to happen. As a matter of fact, in verse number 3, that word knowing is the major word in that verse. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Amen. Real Bible hope isn't wishing for something or desiring something. It is knowing something. Amen. And when we sang that song earlier, boy, the Lord was helping me. This I know. Yes, I know. Amen. And that's what Bible hope, that's what the hope that comes from the Lord, the hope from being justified by faith that we receive. That's what it's all about. It's not about wishing these things to be true and hoping that all this works out the way God says it will. It's by faith, believing, a confident expectation that everything is going to happen the way God says it's going to happen in my life. Amen? And let me just say this about hope. You know, hope is something that you and I did not have before we got saved. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you do not have hope. Amen? You may have the world's hope. I mean, you're really desiring, you're hoping that things play out, but you don't really have God's hope. You don't really have a confident expectation in anything, because a lot of people have got hope in the dollar bill, and it could be worth nothing before tomorrow morning. Amen. A lot of people have hope in the American government, in our military, all these things, and all those things will come to pass. All those things will fall. People have hope in their career and hope in many things, but the question is, what are you going to do when all you have hope in is gone, friend? And the truth is, anything of this world, anything that is of man, it will be gone one of these days. It will not last forever. And a lot of people get the thing they have hope in taken away, and then they're left with no hope. And that's the way we were. When we were lost, we had no hope. We had no hope in this world. We had no hope for eternity. Hope is something that we did not have without God. Hope is something the world will never give you. By the way, hope is something the devil can't ever take away from you once God gives it to you too. Amen. And so thank God for hope. Thank God we can have peace with God. Thank God we can have access to God's grace. But thank God that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. Thank God for hope. This world does not have hope. And if you didn't have the Lord in your life, you wouldn't have hope either. Whenever the world sees all these terrible things happening on the news, seeing Russia invading Ukraine and all these wars and rumors of wars and the shaky economy and the shaky currency and the shaky job situation, and boy, everybody just don't know how things are going to play out. They have no hope in all this. But we know. We're not just hoping it plays out as far as an earnest desire. We have a confidence that we know that God is with us and glorification is coming sometime soon. Amen? No matter how all these things play out. Listen, the things of this world are irrelevant for God's people. The greatest thing we can do is just get a hold of God and His promises and hang on till the end, because glorification is coming here pretty soon. Amen. Just keep on serving God. All these problems and troubles and trials and the uncertainty and the things going on in the world, that stuff is irrelevant when it comes to the things of God. God could turn it all around just by speaking the word if He wanted to. Amen. Listen, who the president is irrelevant as far as God's concerned, because He setteth up kings and He cutteth down kings. Amen. He can turn the whole thing around before tomorrow morning if He wanted to. Amen. And that is our hope. Amen. Amen. I want to give you three things tonight regarding hope right here out of this passage. First of all, as we look at this passage, I want to give you three things. The first one I'll look at is hope's association. What is hope associated with? What does it deal with? Now, look in verse number 2. He says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." I want you to take a special note of that word glory. Hope is associated with glory. That's really what it's all about. It's all about the glory of God. Hope is associated with glory. See, our hope is anchored in the character of a perfect God. Amen? And it's anchored in the character of that God's promises to us. And it's His, specifically here, His promise of glory. That for those of us that are saved, glorification will come someday. Glorification will take place. He has promised us glory. So you say, how will all this end? How's the world going to end? How's all these things going to play out? How's all the things in my life going to play out? How's, you know, losing a home to a fire going to play out? How's my marriage going to play out? How's everything in my life going to play out? Well, I can tell you, ultimately, one of these days, it's all going to play out with God's people around the throne in glorified bodies with glorified minds. Amen. And the devil and his crowd is going to be bound for eternity. Amen. And no longer will we battle sin. No longer will we battle defeat. No longer will we battle disappointment. It's all going to play out with glorification. Us around the throne in glorified bodies with glorified minds. Amen. Worshiping God, glorifying God. That is how it's going to play out. And when Baptists talk about believing in the blood and believing in the book and believing in the blessed hope, that is our blessed hope, praise God, that things are not always going to be this way. Glorification is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you think about justification, that word justification. We've talked about that a little bit. Talk about being justified by faith. That is justified, never sinned. Amen. You know, justification deals with being saved. We've been saved. I've been justified. Amen? That is, currently, presently, I have been, I am saved. And just like the song we sang, I know that. Amen? Amen? You can no more know whether or not you're saved. That's just as obvious as you sitting here physically in this body. Amen? We know that we are saved. I know it. I don't think I'm saved. I don't always feel saved, but I know that I'm saved. Amen? There's some mornings I wake up and I don't feel like serving God. And I don't feel like going to church. And there's sometimes I don't even feel like preaching. Amen? But thank God there are things that I know. And it's not because of what I've been told in some other book or what somebody else has told me. It's what I've read in this Bible. Praise God. I know that I know that I know that I have been justified. Amen? And so justification deals with the fact that we have been saved. We are saved. What about sanctification? Sanctification is we are being saved. He's continually working in us, sanctifying us. You know what the word sanctified means? Set apart. Set apart for a purpose. Separated. That is, pulled out of the group and set aside for a specific purpose. Listen, if you're not getting more sanctified as you go, there's something wrong. Amen? A lot of people, they start out really hot for God and they cool off as they go. That's not the way it ought to be. That's not Bible salvation. A lot of people, they start out real on fire for God and they're separated. And boy, they want to do anything for God. But then as they go, they cool down, you know. And they start to compromise a little more and a little more as they go. They start to look more and more like the world as they go. They start going more and more back to the old ways. And that's not Bible salvation. Listen, we've been justified. We are saved. But God is working sanctification into us. That is, we are being saved. We are being more set apart as we go. We're being more separated as we go. Listen, as you walk with God, God's going to deal with your heart and show you things in the Word and show you things in the preaching and show you things about yourself that you need to get better, that you need to do more of, that you need to change in your life. Not so you can line up with what the preacher says, but so you can line up with what God says, so that you can please Him and be more usable in His Word. Amen? Listen, we preach standards and we preach it right and preach it tight around here, but that's not so you can please me. That's not so you can please somebody else. And it really isn't even so you can please God. Because there's nothing you could do in your flesh to please God. Jesus is the one that satisfied the Father. Listen, living separated and being more sanctified, that's all about being more usable. That's all about getting further down the road with God. That's being more and better for God. That's what that's all about. It's about God can use me more. Amen. That's what sanctification's all about. It's not about earning salvation. Listen, there ain't nothing you can do to earn salvation. We've done figured that out already. I need to move off this because I'm taking too much time here and I got way too much to say. But justification is I am saved now. Sanctification is we are being saved. God's continually making us more like Him. Glorification is we will be saved. Amen? So we are saved. We are being saved. But glorification's coming in that ultimately we are going to be saved. It will happen. We will be saved from this body and saved from this world and saved from all these things. We will be glorified. Amen? Now you're in Romans 5, turn over a page or two to Romans 8. What a great chapter Romans 8 is. And one of the, yeah boy, I guarantee it. One of the greatest verses and greatest promises, even alluding to hope, in all the Bible is in Romans 8, verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What a great, bold promise. I mean, that is so wide open. All things work together for good. All things. What a promise. But I want you to look in verse number 30. Look at what he says. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. In other words, God has justified us. We've put our faith in Christ. If we've done that, we are justified in the eyes of God. And in the eyes of God, we've been glorified. Now, as far as we're concerned, we're going to be glorified. But as far as God is concerned, we've already been glorified. On our timetable, it's coming one day. But as far as on God's timetable, God works above time and beyond time. He is not limited by time. And so on God's timeline, it has already happened. Amen. It's as good as done in the mind of God. Amen. We're just waiting for it to happen for us. One preacher said Ed snuck into this verse. A guy named Ed snuck in. Justify Ed. Glorify Ed. And Ed's all through that verse. And anytime Ed is around, that's letting you know that the job is done. Amen. It is finished. We have been justified, glorified. Amen. And so praise God for our blessed hope. Amen. See, we're still in, many of you know this, we're still in a sin-cursed world. We're still in a sin-cursed body. Brother Raymond testified. He knows all about that. Many of us know all about that. Matter of fact, we all know about that. I mean, it's great to be able to come to church, but what are you going to do whenever you can't? Because sometimes you can't. You want to know why? Because of the curse of sin. We were talking earlier today when Brother Raymond was leaving. We were talking about the buildings, things that's been going on, the changes that's been made. Brother Raymond said, well, I sure wish I could get involved and do some of this stuff. And well, that's the way the curse of sin is, isn't it? It tears these bodies down. And it's going to happen to all of us. One of these days, all of us are going to wind up in the grave. All of us are going to wind up not being able to do what we used to do. Praise God. But one of these days, it's not always going to be like this. Praise God, one of these days, we're not always going to be limited by the curse of sin and held back by sin and be facing the sin-cursed world and this sin-cursed bodies. We're as good as we're already there now. We're just waiting for the change to happen, waiting for the trumpet to sound, waiting for the Lord to do what He's promised us to do. And that is our hope. And our time, I read a quote here. I lost my place there, but I read a quote here. The other day, a man by the name of Albert Barnes, and he wrote just a great quote regarding hope. You know, hope, we're talking about hope's association. Hope is always associated with future glory. It's always dealt with and its promise of future glory. Let me read you what Albert Barnes said. He said, glory usually means splendor, magnificence, and honor. But the apostle here refers to that honor and dignity which will be conferred on the redeemed when they are raised up to full honors of redemption, when they shall triumph in the completion of the work and be freed from the sin and pain and tears and permitted to participate in the full splendors that shall encompass the throne of God in heaven. Amen. That is what's going on right now. Again, it is irrelevant to the soon coming glorification of God's people. Amen. See, hope is what our glory is based on. You know, that's why Jesus told the disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, when they were all fired up, that they were able to cast out devils and heal the sick and do all that stuff. They were able to do those things here that they could physically do and see, and they were so excited about that. And Jesus told them in Luke 10, He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. And no, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you. He said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. That is, the disciples were all tied up into what was going on in the here and the now. And thank God He does bless us here and now. But it's nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed when we see Him, whenever our hope is, our faith is made side. Amen. The hope of glorification. That's hope's association. It's associated with future things associated with glorification. But then I want to look at hope's assembly tonight. Look in verse number 4 back in Romans 5. I'm sorry, not verse 4, verse 3. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. What we have here is the divine assembly line of hope. God lays out an assembly line, and at the end of that assembly line is in verse 4, and that's hope. The very last word of verse 4 is hope. But leading up to verse 4, there is a divine assembly line laid out where God manufactures hope in the lives of His people. You know, hope is one of those things where we like the outcome, but we don't always love the manufacturing process of it. We don't always like the way we get hope. We don't always like the way it's produced in our life. But see, God knows that man cannot live without hope. Man can't survive without hope. If you don't have some kind of hope, you don't have anything. That's why whenever people get hopeless, they start considering taking their life. That's why when people get hopeless, with no hope, they start considering just throwing their life away. Because they have no hope. And God knows this. Therefore, in His children, in His people, as soon as you get justified by faith, He starts the assembly line of hope. Working to manufacture hope in your life. Now, where's the process start? Well, it starts in verse number 3. He says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." So the very first beginning of hope, before you ever get hope, it starts with tribulation. That's the part of it we don't like. That's the beginning. That's the start of the process. He says, we glory in tribulation. You know what the word tribulations really means, what it talks about? The word tribulations means pressure. It's talking about pressure. Being under pressure. God putting the pressure, allowing the heat to be turned up on us. Brother Ernest just mentioned like a pressure cooker. You know what a pressure cooker specifically does to food? Not only does it cook it faster, but it cooks it way more tender. It tenderizes it. Isn't that right? A pressure cooker does. God will put us under the pressure to tenderize us and to break us down. You know, Jesus said in John 16, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Tribulations are going to come if you're saved. Amen. If you're saved, you've been justified by faith, you're one of His children, tribulation is a fact. It will come in your life. It's going to come. So it starts with tribulations. That's the part we don't like. That's the hardest part of it all. That's when the valleys come, the hard times come, the difficult times come. But God is doing something because the next part of it is in verse 3. He says that tribulations work patience. Tribulations work in our life and produce patience in our life. Now, patience is a whole lot more than being able to stand in line at Walmart when there's only one checker and there's 1,000 people in the store. And they got all them, they all got all them cash registers lined up, but they only got one checker out, you know. And one light on, and you're waiting patiently, you know, without flying off the handle. And I'm not going to tell you my story about the fly and the broom handle, because I've told you that plenty of times before. But that's patience is more than that. I mean, that's part of it. That has a little bit to do with patience. But patience isn't the ability to just kind of, you know, sit around and wait and, you know, be patient. That's part of it. But patience really here really speaks of endurance. It's dealing with faithfulness and steadfastness, the ability to keep on moving forward and keep on going on with God when things aren't the way that you want it to go. And let me just tell you, whenever you get saved, if you're ever going to develop the ability to keep on moving forward and to stay and stay faithful and to have some endurance about you, have some stickability about you, you know what it's going to take in your life? It's going to take you facing some tribulations. Generally, the folks that have the least stickability about them in the things of God are generally the ones that have been through the least. And that's totally opposite to the way the natural mind would think it would be. But that is the way it is. You see folks come in and they've got generally a good life, an easy life. A lot of things have never gone on in their life. And you think they're going to set the wood. They'll make you think they're going to set the woods on fire for God. It seems like they don't face many hard times, but they rarely stick around very long. But the folks that are saved, been born again, and God's allowed them to go through some trials, God's allowed them to go through some trouble, some tribulation, put them under the pressure, and they've come out on the other end just moving on with God. God uses those tribulations to work patience in their life, stickability, endurance, faith, faithfulness, steadfastness. See, tribulation breaks us down when it actually builds us up. Tribulation is tearing us down, putting us under pressure when That's what it looks like from the outside, and that's what it's doing. But it's actually building up patience in our life. It's just like lifting weights. You go to a gym somewhere or something, some big, huge guy's lifting a bunch of weights, and he's pumping that iron. Listen, he's not getting built up while he's lifting those weights. He's getting torn down while he's lifting those weights. The muscles are not being built up while he's in the gym. The muscles are not being built up while he's lifting heavy weights. The muscles in his body's being torn down. See, that's the pressure. That's the tribulation. That's the strain. That's the pressure where it's being torn down. You know, when the building up comes, later when he's resting, when he's sleeping, and those muscles begin to build back, and they build back stronger than they were before they were torn down. Christians the same way. God tears us down so that he can build us back stronger. Because the next thing is in verse 4. The patience then brings experience. Look at what he says. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. The patience that he works into our life brings experience. You know, with experience, this is what you can do. Once you've gone through some things, I think about some of these older preachers and men who have really seen a lot. They've been through some things, been through some tribulations. And some here have been through tribulations, been through things. You go through enough of that in life, you'll be able to look back. And God's put some experience into your life, and experience will look back on all that stuff and see wherever you are today and whatever you're going through today, you'll say, we're going to be just fine because we've already been through this. I've already seen this. I've already made it through this. I've seen God do this. I've seen God bring me through this. I've seen God help me here. And so I already know that God's going to get me through right here. You know, the children of Israel really struggled with that. I mean, you think about all they saw God do. All them plagues in Egypt, bringing them out of Egypt, parting the Red Sea, bringing water out of a rock. I mean, just bringing manna. Over and over and over. You would think that somewhere down the road they would finally learn, well, man, God's done all this. Well, surely he can help us right now, you know. But Israel never learned that as a whole. But there were some that learned that. What about Caleb? Caleb learned. Joshua too. Caleb learned. He said, man, listen, I've already seen God do all this stuff. I know what God can do. This me getting this mountain is nothing based on what I've seen God do in our lives, based on what I've seen God do in the past. Listen, he had some experience. He'd been through some tribulations, and those tribulations worked faithfulness, steadfastness, endurance in his life. And so whenever it came time to climb another mountain, he said, I want that mountain. I've seen God do it before, and I know by experience that God can do it again. He said, I'm just as strong today as I was all them years ago because I know I'm not going in my strength, I'm going in God's strength. Amen. And experience does that. Amen. You know, everyone that God ever used went through suffering. God never really used anyone that did not suffer tremendously. Look at Joseph. Boy, Joseph went through suffering. Christ himself went through suffering. All the disciples, the apostles, all through the Word of God. God just does not use anyone that's not been through suffering because that is all part of the assembly line of hope. And it all these things produce hope, which we find in verse number 4, and that's the end of the line is hope. Now again, the big word in verse 3 is that word knowing. I already mentioned that a minute ago. You know, we'll never know anything until we go through it. Experience is the best teacher, isn't that right? We got to know. If we're going to know, we've got to go through it. And so we don't just glory in hope. We glory in tribulations too, once we've been through some things, because we know that these tribulations are working more hope within me, working more patience, working more experience. And this is all part of God's plan. It's all part of what God's doing. And so hope should be gone whenever troubles come, but not for Christians. When tribulations come and hard times come, listen, it's not gone for us. It should be. With the world, it would be. But for us, we can glory in that. We can say, praise God, He's still at work. in my life. Amen. He's still working. You know, that's why James said in James 1, verse 2, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, and wanting nothing." Whether it be a circumstance, whether it be some type of persecution, whatever it is, God is working hope, more hope into our life. Last of all, let me give you this and I'm done. Hope's assurance. Verse number 5, the very first phrase, he says, "And hope maketh not ashamed." That is the assurance that comes with hope. Think about that phrase, "it maketh not ashamed." Do you ever put hope in somebody or ever put hope in something? And either that person or that thing you put all your hope in, you had a lot of confidence in it, just really didn't pan out. You had a lot of confidence in somebody, and they just didn't come through for you. And usually whenever you do that, you know how it makes you feel? Kind of makes you feel a little ashamed. The word ashamed there in the Bible, really, it carries the meaning of feeling silly. And that's the way you feel whenever you put a lot of confidence in somebody and maybe you kind of promote that person or you promote that thing and it just doesn't pan out, it just doesn't work out. And when it's all said and done, you kind of feel silly when it's all over. Like, man, I wish I'd never even done that. Wish I'd have never stuck my neck out for them. Wish I'd have never promoted them, you know. Put all your confidence in somebody and they fall, you know, and it just don't work out. You know, it happens every 4 years. Every 4 years we have an election and everybody in the country's got all their hope in one candidate. I mean, all their dreams are tied to one man. And we've seen what happens whenever it doesn't come through. Isn't that right? We see it, I mean, we see it every year, or every 4 years at least. We've seen a lot of different ways. Maybe someone lets you down you had confidence in. I mean, it just makes you feel just silly. It makes you feel kind of ashamed, kind of silly. But you know, the thing is with God, and the assurance that we have with the hope that we find in the Lord is that you'll never wind up feeling silly trusting God. You'll never get on the other end of this thing and feel ashamed. You'll never get on the other end of this thing and feel silly because it never panned out the way you thought it was going to or the way God said it was going to. It never turned out, and you just feel so dumb. You'll get to the end of it, and you know, you'll never be ashamed. You'll never feel goofy because you served God, because God is never going to let you down. That's the assurance that we have with the hope that we have. Because the thing is, you look at the world now, and it looks like the world's winning. It looks like the devil's winning. It looks like the world is having their day. It looks like they're having victory, and things are going so well for them. But the truth is, one of these days, all of this is going to turn around. One of these days, the trumpet is going to sound. One of these days, the way God said it's going to play out is going to play out exactly the way He said it would. And it's not going to be those that have served the Lord feeling ashamed when it's all done. It's not going to be those that have gone with God feeling silly when it's all said and done. You'll be glad you had God as your hope then, because He won't leave you hanging. You know, you'll never wind up thinking, you know, why did I go with God? Why did I ever go with God? Why did I trust Him? Why did I follow Him? Why did I do what the Bible said? Why was I faithful? Why did I do that? You'll never wind up thinking that when all this thing is said and done. Because that's our assurance. And you say, well, where's the assurance come from? Well, it comes right there in verse 5. And I don't even have time to get into all this, but He said, "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You know, the thing is, in our worst days, God is pouring out an excess of love into our heart. That's how I know that I have a hope that is steadfast and sure. That's how I know that things are going to, that glorification is going to come. Because whenever we're under the pressure, whenever we're in the tribulations, whenever we're in that spot, that love will be shed abroad in our hearts. That word shed abroad, that speaks of excess. an abundance of love. In other words, God is always there. He's always going to be there letting you know that you're right where He wants you to be. And He's right there with you. Thank God for hope. Amen. Thank God that in our darkest hour, in our darkest valley, God will always have hope for us. And that's something that we have as a result of being saved by the grace of God. As a result of being justified by faith, we have hope. Let's pray. Father, thank You for helping us with Your Word. I pray that You'll take it and use it tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to draw nigh to Thee in these days. Lord, truly, Your hope is the only thing that's going to get us through these last days. And so, Lord, I thank You for it. I pray for that one that might be lost, Lord, with no hope, or that You would speak to their heart, or that they would be justified by faith tonight. They'd put their faith and trust in You. They'd repent and believe the gospel, be born again. Lord, I pray for Your people that You'd draw us nigh to Thee. Lord, help us to be what You want us to be in these days. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.